Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We don't do many sequels in this podcast, do we?
What?
We don't do many sequels in this podcast, do we?
What the? We haven't, have we?
No, not like, I mean, we've done like, I think the only thing that's come close is like literally the round table. Technically, but this is technically our part two.
This is technically our first sequel. Yeah, I guess it is. And if I can bring that up, welcome to And That's Why We're Messed Up, the podcast talking about... For a minute, my brain went completely blank.
We've changed it up. We're talking about Star Wars finally after years of saying not going to do it. We're doing it. Star Wars, Star Trek is on us. We're excited. We're doing it. Let's do it, guys. Woo!
No, it's the podcast talking about.
Okay, she's dying now. It's definitely a day.
Oh my god! Oh my gosh! Every podcast has a thing I just won't touch, and my god. Anyway, welcome to And That's Why We're Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am one of your amazing hosts, Shannon's, with the awesome instant classic.
What? How y'all doing, girls? How y'all doing?
And the equally awesome big man, Booger Red,
I is good. How is everyone doing?
Fantastic. And as Bruv said, on this still light day, we are going to continue where we left off last time. We were talking about, finally, The Last of Us series that was on HBO. Thank you, HBO, for what you did. And yeah, I thought we got so in-depth last time that we looked around, it was like, oh, we've only through episode 4. So here we are, ready to dive into episode 5.
We did episode 5, it's episode 6.
Actually, sorry, no, sit, thank you very much. Because the emotional ending of episode 5 was just... I mean, you know what, I think this series is... I think one of the good things about it, because I'm looking to a few other things, is the fact that I like the Neil Druckmann kind of... really like Craig Mazin's work on Chernobyl, and that's why he's like, yeah, I want you to do this. And I kind of love the fact that they both kind of wrote the first episode together and the last episode together. I really enjoyed that. But so episode 5,
six.
You know, one thing we didn't say, sorry, 6, one thing we didn't say was the titles of the episodes. So episode 1 is When You're Lost in the Darkness, episode 2 is Infected, episode 3, Long Long Time, episode 4, Please Hold My Hand, and episode 5, Endure and Survive, which brings us to episode 6, Kin. So, Yeah, Kin is. We're in the home stretch now. We only have a few more left to go. And this is where Tommy and Joel are reunited.
See, I gotta say, watching The Last of Us, I knew who the main cast were, but I didn't know Gabriel Luna was gonna be in it. And you guys know I have nothing but love for Gabriel Luna because
I
will always I still stand by this. He is by far the nicest man in Hollywood. I'll always say that because again, met him one time, he treated me like we were friends for years and it was brilliant. He's probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met in I think the only person that comes second to him is Johnny Depp, but seeing Gabriel Luna in something I love, like Last of Us, just made me so happy, and he did a really good job. He was so
good. When did you meet him?
From the FP days. He came in unannounced. Well, he called us ahead of time to set up a unofficial meet and greet. And I was put in charge of it. So we started talking. One of the things that blew me away about him, he remembered everyone he met from a convention he did in Blackpool, I think it was. He remembered everyone's name. He was saying, like, I was like, oh, Becky, thanks for coming down again. I really appreciate it. Oh, Sam, I love that video you posted a few days ago. It was really good.
I was like,
how do you remember everyone's names? And he went, my dad always taught me, if you remember people's names, they'll respect you more in the long run. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's true. And like, we just started like messing about because he was a big flirt. And I just called him a dirty old man. And he was like, dude, you're like 1 year old, younger than me. So that's not the point. You're still a dirty old man. Look at you just flirting there with these little girls. I've seen your wife. How dare you, sir? And we're just joking about. And like, when he left, he was like, well, we're getting a picture, right? And I was like, yes. Yes, we're getting a picture together. So he did. Again, like I said, nicest guy in Hollywood until someone comes and beats him, because there is no one that has beaten him so far. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. You know, that's real, keeping it real. The fact that he's just himself, and that's something which is a rarity you get in Hollywood apparently with some people. But the fact that, as you said, you're acting like your best friend from back in the day, that says a lot about a guy's character.
You can find that picture, bro. I'm about to share that with the people then, if you can find it.
It should be on my Instagram. I can send the link.
Yes, please. It's wonderful. So Kin, so we are 6 episodes deep, our 9 episodes. How'd you feel? Because obviously, I mean, I feel like it's a welcome break, because the end of Endure and Survive was a lot. We knew it was coming if you played the video game. The TikTok's going around where it's like, you got people watching people who don't know what's going to happen. But then you also are like, I am also now doubly traumatized because I know what's going to happen. It was so real for the end of episode 5. It's like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, you have to brace yourself. It's like when you have a shot to calm the nerves, because you know shit's about to get very real. It's about to go peak, and stress is definitely about to hit home. This was it.
I'll be honest with you. I had to take this whole thing in parts. I couldn't watch the whole thing straight through. Like, I watched 1 to 3 and stopped. I stopped right before the end of 3 because I was like, I don't know if I can take it.
Yeah.
I just wasn't in a good headspace. I had to stop. And then I was like, I need to finish for myself and for the pod. So then I came back to it and pushed through. And I was so close to stopping again after episode 5. I was ridiculously close again. I can't. But I just pushed. I firmed it. I was like, no, I've got to do it. I just pushed it through. And yeah, I think the pacing was good in that way, because you've had such blows in different ways, say from 3 to 5, and then you kind of get that they've reached this community and finally Joel's almost like half the mission's complete. Can we turn it in now and get some loot because we found Tommy? And I like the little touches in this episode. I know there was so much online at the time about Ellie having a moon cup, because it's like those little practicalities that often get forgotten about during these times, which is people still menstruate and need supplies and need help. I just thought that just that tiny little bit was just really perfect. And I also had a thought the other day where the part, going back to the episode where Eddie doesn't put on the seatbelt, I kind of realised that I was raised as a part of a generation that didn't have seatbelts until much later. So, like, bruv, you've always been raised with seatbelts.
Yeah.
I haven't. And that's mental, that it's like, I used to drive in cars with no seatbelts. Which is like, yeah, a standard. In front or back, there wasn't seatbelts.
I think like in some countries, it's still not legally required to actually wear a seatbelt.
Yeah. But I just had that moment where I was like, yeah, that's a weird moment. But anyway, yeah, any thoughts you guys have on episode 6?
I think episode 6 was still quite emotional because obviously you're dealing with this reconciliation with the two brothers at the same time, yeah. Come to grips with what they did.
Yep.
And Joel come to grips with his mortality because he felt, because I remember in the game, it was kind of the same. It was kind of the same sense, but the main difference is a fight broke out between the Raiders and you, brother Eddie, and just had to get bunker down, and kill a few people. But obviously, that wasn't the case. It was more like
I was kind of relieved about, to be fair.
Because to be fair, the game is just, it is a lot of gunfights, but
yeah.
You can't really do that realistically in a TV show. You really can't. That's not. It'll ruin the pacing. Because again, in a video game, you need it because obviously the whole point of something like Last of Us is an interactive movie.
Mm.
So you need to shit like that to make you feel a part of the story. While it's TV shows, you don't really need to feel a part of the story. It's all about the acting, the experience, the whole kit and caboodle. I've never said that word before in my entire life.
I was going to say, bro, you're all right? Wow. But I like it. It was okay. It was good.
But
Big Man, anything stand out to you in that episode?
You know, I'm actually... It was just to back up what Bro said. It was an emotional episode to see the brothers reunite. But for me, as you point out, it was just the little things about Ellie. For me... That episode, I'm not saying it's a filler episode because there was no filler episodes at all.
Mm.
It's just the attention to detail, which I loved from game to TV show. Mm. How it's not made to look colourful. It has that, I can't say cloudy. I think it's the word I'm thinking.
Yeah, a bit washed. Not like bright. Like, wow, it's not like a Wes Anderson movie or something. It's a bit still a bit washed out. I think I liked, there was the, we finally get to bring in Sarah again.
Yeah,
which is really kind of touching. I think I liked that Ellie kind of got some treatment she deserved, but she's not that kind of girl, which sounds weird. You know what I mean? Like she's good. She was getting looked after in a way that, in a different circumstance, she would be. You know, having a haircut, talking about moon cups, you know, and what have you. Mm. Which then makes it all the more upsetting when she then kind of has a go at Joel, because obviously she shows that he has the plan, that where he's like, honestly, I can't do this anymore. And once again, Bella Ramsey is absolutely amazing in this episode, just going for it and just really giving her all and communicating, you know, that she can't do it without him, and that just when she's trusting him, he's gonna let her down again. And that just is, you know, it's just, everyone in this is fantastic. There's, you know, I can't think of where it's like, you know, you came with your B game. Now, everyone came with A and beyond, and it was fantastic to see. Mm. And emotional as well, because you're kind of, it's like, once again, it's the whole, I think the thing this series did really well is that it isn't just that, it's not always where you can say, oh, okay, I could just see this side and side alone. A lot of people, you can see all sides. You can see where Joel's tired.
Mm.
Injured, PTSD, done in, doesn't want to do it anymore. You can see Tommy's point of view, although Tommy is a bit dumb because Tommy didn't know what the definition of communism was as he lived on the commune. Henry and Sam, you know, like Kathleen, you get it, and that's kind of what I like about it. It's straddling that line well of going, yes, there are bad people and there are good people, but it's all very complicated, which I think was a masterstroke that they did.
I think it was done very well.
Yeah. And then of course we kind of have the crescendo of them, of it coming to a head, where they get to the hospital and Joel, they have the Raiders and Joel falls off the horse and leaving, which once again, heart in the throat, knew it's coming, but still like, oh God, kind of thing, which then brings us to episode 7, Left Behind.
For a game, most of the DLC.
I thought it was a very good stroke to bring it in, to not leave it as, like, you know, a DLC, and to have it as a complete story. And we get, I think, finally, we get some... once again, the pacing is done really, really well. It's almost like the time you get to stop is you realize, well, hang on, all I know about Ellie is about this, you know, our interaction with her currently. I don't know her backstory.
Mm.
So this time we get to know her. And yeah. How do we feel about Left Behind? A Neil Druckmann written episode, which I find is really funny that he wrote the DLC episode.
As it should be, to be fair.
Yeah, as it should be.
When I saw my girl Storm reading it, I was like, my niece, my Shiani clone is back. Because I don't care what anyone says. Like when Storm Reed was in Wrinkle in Time, a film that I wish was better than it was.
Yeah.
And she was really good. And actually, everyone in it was really good. It was just the film wasn't good itself.
The film wasn't good.
But
yeah.
Again, it's a really weird story to adapt to film, to be fair.
Mm.
But when, in that film, she looked the spit of Shiona, especially when she was wearing glasses.
She did look like my daughter.
Yeah. And like her, but she's always been an amazing actress. So seeing her in that role was perfect. Like, absolutely perfect. And again, Bella Ramsey. When they their reaction to being the mall for the first time and going on the escalator, that was so cute and so, and like, you know, oh yeah, they haven't, well, she hasn't seen an escalator before. So yeah, that's the general reaction, because I remember when I went first on the escalator as a kid, it's like,
you were terrified.
Yeah, I was terrified, but at the same time, I did play out of it.
You did, yeah.
I still did to this day. I don't know why. But yeah, it was just the reactions and just, it was like that sense of joy and wonderment that you had as a kid. And then, as usual, you get a gut punch of emotion when she finds out that her friend's leaving.
Yeah.
And then more and more and more. And one thing is, I'm glad it didn't end how she described it. Well, obviously it did end we just didn't see it, and I'm glad we didn't see it.
We didn't get to see it. This is something that I've had recently, and I feel like it hit crescendo a few years ago, where this temptation in a lot of genres to show everything all the time without question. And I'm just like, sometimes you don't need to see it all.
Mm.
Sometimes it's better to let our brains do the work for us. And I like this. In a way, I think one of the masterstrokes of The Last of Us is not only what it did show, but what it didn't show. Like, not showing the bodies of Bill and Frank.
Mm.
Not showing their demise. Certain things. And this is another one where it's like, do we need to see this? It's like, no. And I love that they gave Ellie a time to be a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was damn well important. It was needed.
Yeah. I mean, she needed that because she had it in bursts throughout the series, like when she does the puns and what have you. But it was tiny bursts that get snatched away. This was a long moment we got to spend with Ellie being a kid. And it was nice. It was fun. And just seeing their reactions and her dealing with a lot of emotions. It's almost like she was a kid that had to, we watched her grow in that moment, because we watched her kind of like become really, really little and fascinated and the carousel and all of it, and then kind of have to realize how she feels about her friend and, you know, Riley, and give a kiss. and then react, and then but also see the underwear and be like, gross, but also fascinated, you know, at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Mm, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, and then of course we knew, once again, we knew it was going to happen. And yeah, and I think that whole kind of like blending and just letting them sit there, to that we, the last that we see is that they're just sitting there waiting for the infection. Obviously, we know that it's never going to take hold for Ellie.
Yeah.
So we know doubly, it's like, so we know what you're going to have to do in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's almost like Neil just gone, I'm going to let you lot sit with that. I don't see why I need to show it. And I'm kind of grateful.
Yeah.
I'm kind of grateful because I feel like, and especially with episode bloody 8 coming up, I'm glad that we didn't see that trauma. Because we have so much more to come.
That's the
and
thing.
It's not too, and it's like, yeah, I don't need to see that one, if you get what I mean.
So much went on. And that's why it is just like in the case of Seven, Succession, or other problem. There's certain key scenes.
Mm.
We just let our minds take over.
Yeah.
And that's what on this is one of them. Oh, I was for once grateful. I'm like, you know what? Thank you. Can breathe up.
I think also it's key to gaming because a part of what is the thing with gaming is we are immersed. We are in control. So sometimes, you know, the best example I'm giving this is the recent Dead Space is realizing like what they've done to change how it sounds.
Mm.
So your brain is as well as you're trying to deal what's in front of you, and bruv, more than anybody else on this will know, more than anybody else, I'm sure it's a case of your brain is trying to deal with what you've got to deal with in front of you, but you can hear what's coming at the back of you or the side of you. So you're almost like, what is that? What could that be? Is it this? Is it? Do you know what I mean? Do you think that's a good comparison, bruv?
Definitely.
And you know what? I will say this from the bottom of my heart: I will never play Dead Space again.
Nah.
Pussy.
Again.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna say again. I'm gonna say I would never play Dead Space.
For me was again. I mean, I barely touched the surface of it first time round, and after I saw the updated version, I'm like, you know what? I'm good in my life right now. I don't need that. And just watching Bruv play is all I need to see.
This is why Bruv is the instant classic. This is why Bruv is talented. This is why Bruv has the drive that he needs, because Bruv is sometimes better than all of us, because Bruv's like, yeah, I'm going to sit down at 9 o'clock at night and play this game. And it's like, okay, I love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You're an amazing person. Record your progress so I can watch it on YouTube and cat behind the sofa. Thank you very much.
And you're welcome.
Thank you. So I also kind of like the way the episode ends with like, Ellie's just like, it's almost like I think I remember correctly, she kind of like, it's her and Riley sitting there, and then you then cut to her like trying to find stuff to sort out Joel.
Yeah, because Joel basically told us just to go and leave him.
Yeah, and she's like, no. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Mm.
No. And then she does, but it's also like this whole thing of this kid just finds the energy to do what she has to do and stitches him up. And it's wicked. It's just like a fantastic kind of exploration of the kind of child slash, you know, teenager slash woman she's becoming. I'm stuttering because the next episode, right? Episode 8, when we are in need.
See, one thing
Craig Mazin writes this one.
What I will say when it comes to that episode, when it comes compared to the game, I like the fact that the raiders that were at the hospital were connected to that group because they were.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah,
which made sense. I was like, okay, tying them together. I like it. It makes more sense. Like it just compresses.
Yeah.
The Last of Us in general, from the game to a TV series, very nicely. That's one thing. That's one little piece I would definitely give it props to. Like, I was worried at first, when I heard Troy Baker was in this episode, I was worried that he was going to be the David character.
David.
And I was like, don't make Troy. So, okay, he's a side man. Okay, it's fine. Okay.
But he was still a bastard.
But.
Yeah, man.
But he wasn't David.
Yes. I did not think I could hate David more than in the game. I didn't think I could actually hate him more. But in the
because again, a lot of it in the game is very implied.
Implied.
But then when he got on top of it, I was like, oh no. I literally I wanted to grab my controller and do something.
Yeah, that effect. Reach with a controller.
It's when he said, I like it when they struggle. Mm. And I was like, and it's just, it's the sinisterness. It's so sinister. Mm. It's so culty. It's giving Jonestown. It was giving a lot of it. And putting Troy Baker in there, I think, was a really good thing because it allowed him to get his chops on. And I saw a TikTok with him basically saying about doing like the last scenes of Last of Us, having to do it again, and he was emotionally done in.
Mm.
And the fact that when he did it the first time, especially the last scene in the hospital, which we'll get to, when he did it on mocap, he was like trying to do it as like, I'm the best actor there is and what have you. And Neil was like, come back and do it again. And I think he had a go at Neil because he was like, I'm done. Like I'm done. And Neil was like, this is how I need you to be. This is how I need. And that's when he said that. That's when I got it. It wasn't about me being the best this or that. It's about the fact that I'm portraying a man who's at the end of everything, who's completely done in. And that's when I got it. And I really liked that because I think if anything, this was where Troy had to pull it back. Because we've heard Troy go for it, you know, pagan min. We've heard him go for it.
Mm.
This is one where he couldn't go for it. And I think he did it really well, making that transfer from a voice actor to seeing him like go for it. And I also felt warm but cold.
Yeah.
Like warm because he's familiar and it's like, yay. But he's playing such a heinous character.
Mm.
It's like, no. But then it's also like, yay, because I like what you do, Troy. So I think it was a good choice. But man, did I, oh God. And it's just the whole thing of the insidious way that is David has delivered. It felt different than the game. How about you, bro?
Yeah, again, like I said, it felt, because again, everything in the game is implied.
Yes.
And there's a lot more control, and obviously you have no control. You know what's coming, you know what to expect, but you've got more of an idea, or you like or even more of an idea. You know for a fact where the tensions are, and like when you gave him more, I won't say backstory. Well, yeah, pretty much more backstory. When you see he was a teacher who became a preacher.
Yes.
I was like, oh,
yes.
You just run it all into one horrible thing. No. You're basically giving the stereotypes of a sociopath. And I'm like, nah, I can't. I can't. I need you to suffer. So when
she broke his fingers. Oh my god.
Yeah, I was like, yes. Yes.
And talk about Bad B when she was like, tell him Ellie sent you. Like kind of being like, tell him, talk to him. And I was like, yes. I've got to say that the delivery was so smooth as well. It was so quick.
Mm.
Like the reversal. I think this could be personal because, you know, I hate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that bit took a very long time. a real long time.
Hey man, it was a hard part.
May have taken far longer than I want to admit on a podcast in recording. may have got someone else to do it for me. Just saying. Because I hate stealth, bruv. You know I hate stealth. I hate stealth.
She hates stealth.
So, hate stealth.
Didn't we all happen? We never knew that.
Well, everyone here I am, episode 3. True confession. I hate stealth. I have not played for the any of the Arkham games. Do you know why? Tell them, bruv.
She hates stealth.
There you go. There you go. My Batman it's just not stealthy. My Batman is a hot mess full of grenades and everything else, and I don't get far that way, so I'm never gonna play your games because why, bruv?
Okay, stealth.
Just, thank you.
Get on t-shirt.
Now why do I think that that's a t-shirt for you waiting
that's,
to happen?
That is blatantly a t-shirt.
That, believe me, I hate stealth.
She hates stealth. Yeah. Fine. Fine. Cool. So that bit, obviously, with the whole the fire and the stalking, it was brilliantly executed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of discussions about the execution of female rage in that moment. I could not stop shouting. I actually still was like, come on! Like, I literally was shouting in my house when it happened. Because it's that whole... It's almost like I don't even know if Ellie got it or not, but she knew what was at stake. And that bit just gave me such... And Bella Ramsey executed it. Chef's kiss. Absolute beauty to fuck up that piece of shit.
Yeah, I was like, my mom was like, yeah, you keep going until you feel ready to stop, because I don't blame you. Keep going.
Yeah.
If that's 20 minutes of you doing this, do it. It's fine. If all we end see at the end is jelly, that's fine. I don't care. Go for it. But the end of that bit, though, when she goes out and Ellie, and Joel. This is when it's like, it's complete. Sorry, Joel. Yeah, when Ellie's kind of like, she's almost a shake. Like, she's almost about to go into shock. You can see it. Mm. It's almost like she'd stop, but she can't. And when he holds her, and when he just says it, and it's like, oh, baby no, girl. He's gone. I caught you. I caught you, baby girl. I was like, one, I was also just like, Pedro Pascal, God damn you. Two, I was like, Neil Druckmann, God damn you. Three, I was like.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Troy Baker, God damn you!
That's one of my favorite episodes of the series.
Mm. Yeah, I got you, baby girl. Was just so, and her whimper, and it was just like, oh my god.
And the moment, but, that's basically the moment that became father and daughter.
Yeah,
that was that moment, and that was that was. And what kind of gets me about it is that's from the start of playing the game on series in general. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it came with such a cost.
And this is the thing. Even though I will say, like, when Joel gets up and is straight Terminator. When that's Joel gets up and Joel was as unapologetic as I would be. He was literally like, no, I'm like, no, I didn't say you survived. Bam. I who told you that?
Yeah, he goes like, he was saying you was like,
I know.
Yeah, I know.
It's the way I think that's what I think this series has kind of brought back. Like the silent, sweet, almost kind of like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Like, they have to shout and scream it. You know? I mean, like, it's. I mean, like, you know, John Wick does that whole, like, yeah, I guess you could say I'm back.
Yeah, like, his performance.
You could basically like, I'm back, yeah?
No, his performance reminds me of Denzel Washington in Man on Fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Denzel Washington was the Punisher in that, and, like,
yeah,
he was just, like when he set the grenade up the guy's ass.
More time.
He goes, like, what? Oh, yeah, I've got to go. You've got, like, a few minutes left. He goes, like, well, you can't leave me. He goes, like, I wish. Like people said, you had more times walked away. It's like, yeah.
That whole thing, and it's like, yeah, I'm not here to be negotiated with. I've gone so far now. You can't negotiate with me. I just need to find her. So yeah. So that's when we're in need, and then we come to look for the light, and yeah. As you know, obviously the first episode was when you're in darkness, and the end is. Look for the light. I liked obviously seeing Ashley. It just felt warm. And she gave it. My God. She was on for long, but my God, does she give it? And the terror's real. And I love that we kind of, it's just, you know what this series does nice? It wraps things in neat little bows.
It really does, yeah.
It brings stuff together for you. And you're like, oh, yeah. Chef's kiss. Like, as you said before, like, you know, like the Raiders were linked to David's camp. Bringing the whole Marlene. And it's like, yeah, here we go. And yeah. Sometimes I think because for those who knew, I almost wish I didn't know what was going to happen. Do you get what I mean? Because I feel like the fact that I knew it was going to happen impacted how I saw the pacing of this episode.
To be honest, because I was so used to gaming adaptations being fucked up, I was looking. I was like, I was sitting there waiting. Like, let's see how they fuck this up. I've been enjoying the show for the whole. It's done nothing at this point to disappoint me. So I was like, you know what? This is where they fuck it up. Let me see what they do. Let me see what they fucking do. And I was like, shit.
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
It hit the same. If not, it's not slightly different.
It did. Because I think. Yeah, go and say, bruv.
No, because like. Shit. I lost my train of thought there. Damn it.
Oh, sorry. I did that.
No, it's gone. Oh, wait, that's it. Sorry. I heard like, I think one of my friends asked me recently, they were saying that, what did I think of the pacing of this episode, of the last episode? And I was like, considering what you did in the video game, I thought it was the only way it could be paced, because obviously in the video game, you're still like journeying, and then you get stuck in this fucking sewer tsunami.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with that shit. And to be honest, you don't need that. The only thing I was hoping they would keep in was probably my favorite part in the video game, which I think I still have my Facebook on the picture. I have a shot of it on my Facebook somewhere, like from years ago when I first played The Last of Us, where they see the giraffes.
Oh yeah.
I
was hoping if they're gonna keep any scene from the video game, I was so happy they kept it, because
I kept it, and it was still so good.
And it was just like, because again, it was Ellie's like amazement at seeing giraffes for the first time, yeah. And it was just like, don't scare it off. It's like, no, don't worry, I'm gonna scare it off. And it's just It just kind of, considering what she had been through previously, and obviously she is still obviously affecting her hugely with Joel trying to be more of that father figure, to try and make her come out of her shell. He's trying his best. Like, he's obviously out of practice. And that just helped to just say, you know, this is your time. Let's just be for a bit, okay? Let's not worry about this, that. Let's just be us for now in this moment.
Yeah.
And it was.
Because she was struggling. Like, she was, you could see her descending into PTSD. You could see it, which is understandable. And of course, And I think it made Joe actually be more of a father than he had been with Sarah. Because even the bit we saw with him and Sarah, Sarah was kind of looking after herself. Sarah kind of just getting on with things, going here, doing this, making her way downtown, looking fat. Anyway, but she was, so if anything, him kind of like doing puns and trying to engage her was like, you probably have done more than you have with Sarah. Right. You know, especially like at the time it was. And then seeing her kind of come awake a bit and like running around, and you're like, oh God, oh God. And you think, oh, it's going to be the bit. And it was done really well. And it was lovely. It was good to kind of see that some, like, it's almost like it's giving her a light in the dark she's just come out of. So I thought that was a really well executed scene. And then we get to the capture, and it's I found the timing weird, because I feel like this is very much a seeing the world through, a lot of times we're seeing it through very different eyes, and this is very much through the lens of somebody who's gone through complex PTSD and who is traumatized and is just in the zone. And even the music change, like, hit me, that Joel just becomes his worst self for what he believes is for the best reason. And it's almost like, this is like peak Joel. You've never seen him like this, really.
You've heard stories about it.
You've heard stories, but you've never seen him. And now you see it and you're like, oh shit. And I mean, obviously, if you play the game well, you execute it like Joel. I may not have executed it like Joel.
To be fair, that scene's not even that hard.
It's not that hard, to be fair.
They make it as like, yeah.
They make it as easy as possible, but I still have a few restarts. Anyway, but yeah, and just the kind of, it's almost like you see the darkness, and you see the full darkness of Joel, which Pedro Pascal executed brilliantly. And yeah, and then just killing Marlene.
Oh, just if you didn't know, just a little of Easter egg. One of the voice actresses from the second game, Laura Bailey, was one of the nurses.
Really?
Oh, for real?
Yeah, like you couldn't see because you never saw her face. But if you know what Laura Bailey looks like with her eyes, you can see that one of them was actually her. So, yeah.
Wonderful. All right.
So, I can't remember what character she plays in the second one. She's that hench one. That hench one.
Okay. All right, okay.
So, basically, yeah. Laura Bailey, she's like another amazing voice actress. She's basically in the same field, the same pedestal as Nolan North and Troy Baker.
So... It was really funny to have like a friend of mine who has not doesn't play the game be like, Joel lied. And I was like, oh, sweetheart. Like, I was like, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, just like the game, it should inspire a bit of debate. It's like, what would you do?
Yeah.
What would you do? Because I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd do.
Because, like, realistically, you're talking about, you're living, because you got, okay, if you look at it from a realistic standpoint, you're in a world where society isn't what it used to be. Mm. You can't get the right help, because let's be honest, if society still existed the way it was in Last of Us, after Joel lost Sarah, he would have got the help he needed to kind of not get over it per se, but to accept it and just move on and try and live a healthy lifestyle and maybe, you know, be okay. But he never got that help. He got Tess, but it really wasn't a replacement for Sarah or even his wife. We never hear about.
No, we don't.
And he was so reluctant to even go back into that world because he knew the pain of losing it.
Yeah.
So I get why he did it. If I was in his position, I would do it. I'm not gonna lie. If I was Joel, and that's the life I've lived, I understand why that was his choice. Because this little person who I was reluctant to get close to, who became my everything in those few technically months mm-hmm. traveling together.
Yeah,
it's going to be taken away with the possibility of maybe getting a cure.
Yeah,
fuck that. No, I'm killing you all to take my baby back home.
Yeah,
that's
A lot of us like to think we'll be the Spock, we'll be the needs of the few the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. I can't tell you. There's a lot of people in this that I saw myself in. Kathleen, mm-hmm. saw myself in. I'm unashamed to say I am. Henry, like, and in Joel, because I'm a parent and I don't know what I would do. I don't know. And I think I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. And that is the beauty of this game and this series. It is like, sometimes things are hard and you have to make a decision. But the point that the issue is that, and I think this is what The Last of Us did well, I think said this in the last episode, is that it's like, there are consequences. Every decision we make, there are consequences and we have to deal with them. And part of that is lying to Ellie. And it's like, do you think she knows?
Yeah.
Bruv.
Yeah.
Brothers, do you think she knows?
I think she's... Well, I haven't played part two, so I don't know if it's kind of... I know Big Man's played part two, so he knows better than I do. But I feel like she does know. She's smart not. She's too smart not to.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, I still got part two to play, so I guess I'll find out.
I guess we will. Yeah, that was our breakdown, our review of The Last of Us Series 9, episodes of absolute brilliance. That, as Bruv said it, that is the fucking bar.
When it comes to gaming adaptations, don't get me wrong, they've come a long way and they've gotten better, but...
They have.
If you're going to do a... Not even light for light, but if you're going to do an adaptation with the same exact story based on the video game, that's what you need to strive for. Because Resident Evil, if we're going to do another one, that's what you give me.
Rezzy, I have notes. You need to involve the original creators.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need their mindset. That's mm-hmm. to me what's important. You need the mindset they were. What were they trying to convey? You need to be in touch with the creators, original creators. If possible, if they're not, passed on or what have you.
They're still here
for Resident Evil. But in general, I'm talking for all adaptations. Be in contact with the creators of it. Secondly, have somebody who can execute it, who has a background in execution, that can show you the receipts of how they will execute it and execute it well. You need someone of talent, someone who's got that pedigree to say, I'm not going to treat this as something beneath me or just a little game. I'm going to treat this as something excellent. You need a really good cast. Someone who, not just in look, but encapsulates the emotions, the feelings, everything of those characters. Because they are characters for us. And I don't know about you, Big Man and Bruv, but I feel like when I've seen adaptations, it becomes obvious pretty quickly when people have disdain for the characters and disdain for the story, because they look down on it and be like, I will give credit to Paul W.S. Anderson for not leaving behind Resident Evil, because for good or for ill, he loves those games. I can't go, because he'll slap me. Because the truth is that it's like, he does love the games. And he does love gaming in general. You know, a person of pedigree to execute, maybe not Paul. Mm. But what I like, he's like, after what I did for Mortal Kombat, I ain't never leaving behind a game franchise ever again. And it's like, on a level, okay. For good or for ill. And I kind of get that. But at this level now, at this heavyweight, and I mean... When Last of Us hit, Bruv will attest, Big Man will attest, when it came out, it was big, it was like, woof, that was a lot in gaming. And two, divided up everybody. But I feel like what we got is something, if someone ever says to you, a video game's art, this is one of the things I go, here you go. You sit down, you watch that, and you tell me about, is that art?
And you know what I love that it's done, is for all those people that experienced before, they got a chance to experience it again.
Yeah.
And those who are brand new to the franchise, has now jumped in, and I know the reissued PS5 version did ridiculously good numbers.
It was something like 380% or something stupid like that.
Yeah,
that it increased.
And it looks fucking good. But to touch on what Chantel said, okay, I'm gonna say a name. It's a director, a German director called Christopher Gans, or Gans, depending on
your Gans. Yeah.
Now this man reached out to the creators of a certain video game.
I know.
Saying, preaching how much he loved the franchise, how he wants to do it right. Please give me permission to do the film, and they gave him permission. I mean, he actually sent them footage that he made of his adaptation of this film to prove how much he loved the franchise. And they said, "All right, do you know what? We'll give you permission." That guy went on to do Silent Hill.
Silent Hill.
The first Silent Hill.
These are my favourites. One of my favourite films. Yeah.
The first Silent Hill was probably one of the better, or at the time, the best gaming adaptation of a live-action film. Because it was done, the atmosphere was right, the tone was right. Story was a bit weird compared to the video game, but in a video game, one story is very weird in itself, and it's very hard to adapt into a film. But considering what we got, and what we had at the time, probably one of the best video game adaptations out there. So it's not impossible. I just find when you're talking about the same for the characters that studios or directors have. Example of that: Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. Leon Kennedy is probably one of my favorite characters in the franchise, like second to probably Jill. But they did him so dirty in that film. I have never been so disgusted at character adaptation before in my entire life. I was, who the fuck is that? I was literally like I was by myself in my bloody room. Like, who the fuck is that? It's not Leon. I don't care if he's Hispanic or everything. I don't give a shit. If you're gonna cast someone who's supposed to be a good actor, cool. Let him act. He was doing shit. He pissed me right off.
Right. The fact that it's a while ago since you watched that film, and even now you still can't even complete.
Aim deep.
Dude,
you know how Brad feels about Leon.
Claire was cool. Jill was played. Oh, she was played. Oh, who's she played by again? Can't forget the actress from.
Oh, that her from Skins.
From what?
The British program Skins on E4.
Yes, she played Cloak in Ant-Man and Wasp, and she's finale.
Yeah, Hannah O. Well, yeah, I know. Yeah.
When I heard she was being cast as Jill, I thought, okay, I'm cool with that. And she had moments of like potential, and then they didn't use her. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I love Robbie O'Mell. He's not Chris. He's Leon. There you go. This is Leon right there. Just cast him as Leon and give him more of a backbone. What the? I'm done. Let's come in the podcast now. I'm done.
Well, you know the first thing is that I even made it to Raccoon City. I mean.
I'll make it easier for you. Okay. They have unused actors like Neil McDowell, who's probably one of the better character actors in the industry, playing one of the best bad guys in the industry, but he was underused. The CGI is very early 2000s when we live in an age where we got fucking MCU beauties like anything, and we got like Commodore 64 graphics.
Even PS2, bruv. Dragged back to Commodore 64.
You had bad casting in the sense that you had good actors but playing the wrong characters. The guy who was playing Wesker should have been Chris. The guy who was playing Leon should have the main Chris should have been Leon. What's his name? They brought Ada right at the end of the cutscene. They actually brought the actress to play the character again in the video game, which is quite cool. What else was quite stupid? The only thing that was good, the only thing that I'll give it credit for, was the Lisa Trevor story. If you remember from Resident Evil remake, the first remake, when they had that girl with the sack over her head. Her story was the best thing in the whole film. And considering how long she was, how much she played in the original game, that's not good.
Wow.
And like,
it's, and you know what? Sorry, it's bad that the fact that we have like this and Halo, two washouts where it's like, You have so much.
I forgot about Halo. Jesus Christ.
We were all so upset that we actually silently didn't talk about it.
I didn't acknowledge
the existence of how atrocious that show was.
Right. The sad thing is about Halo, it looked amazing.
Mm.
It did. But oh my God, that wasn't Halo. If someone said to me that was someone who... If someone told me someone for a laugh made Halo, that would be it. Because virtually, absolutely stunning. Yet again, like playing the game. But that was not the game. I don't know what the hell that was.
You could say that there's more compelling action and emotion in the ad campaign of a game than the actual series, then you've got a problem. If the ad campaign, which has what, 3 minutes if you're lucky, to do is to even continue something, has more compelling story than what was in that series, y'all know how my husband feels about Halo. y'all know how it's the most, and on a level, my link to Halo is the fact that before Halo, I had a real problem with playing first-person shooters. I didn't like it, just through the trauma of cousins berating me through my life, and I didn't play them. Halo is the game that got me to love first-person shooters, and I've seen it through life. Halo is the game I've played on Legendary. Like, yeah, that's how I feel about Halo. I absolutely love Halo. The story behind Halo is compelling. I literally have, like, the Halo compendium kind of thing. And my husband didn't eat. He just, you know, he kissed his tea. I thought an old Jamaican man had turned up in my yard. I said, and then he left the room. Talk to you, I'm going to bed. I was like, oh God, oh.
I remember the moment I decided I wasn't going to watch the Halo series. And it was, I think it was like an advert. And I saw, what's his name? Not Liv, his brother. I saw him wearing a costume without the helmet. I was like, whoa.
What?
That's not him. That's not Master Chief. That's not John. Mm. Who the fuck is that? Is that your? Why am I seeing his face?
Tell me it's ODST. Tell me something else. Don't tell me that is 117. Yeah, Don't even tell me. That's John.
It was Sylvester Stallone's Judgment all over again.
Exactly.
This is why I love this podcast and the wonderful people behind it who sit next to me every time, because I love you lot so much. You're in my whole brain.
You think me too, because I was going to say this is Dread all over again, but yeah, you coined me to it. Exactly. It wasn't needed. And how has that even been renewed for season two?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
It didn't do well. It didn't do well. The backlash was swift. It didn't do well. Numbers weren't there. I'd be surprised if it was.
Well, let me put it this way. If the Winchesters have been locked off here, yeah, then every chance Halo must be getting locked off as well.
Well, in fairness, though, we are going through a writer's strike. So we are going to see some interesting times again. It's like Heroes all over again.
Bad news. There is a season two.
It's been renewed.
Jeez, see?
According to IMDb, there's a season two.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow. Pablo, that's below.
I'm going to say I'm all for the people. I'm all for those who are, you know, who take part in the writer's strike. Oh, it's going to be interesting. Let's just hope things like Abbott Elementary go on hiatus for the time. If you're not watching Abbott Elementary, watch Abbott Elementary, because it's absolutely wicked. I'm sorry, the point I was making is my brain just literally farted there. We came from Welcome to Raccoon City. We came from the Halo, and I'm glad that this is like, okay, here we go. This is it. And if this is it, if that's what I had to sacrifice, I'm fine. If I had to sacrifice those two to get this, I'm fine. I'm fine, but I now want better. So anyone who's like, let's do Bioshock, it's like, if Bioshock don't slap...
apparently, that is in the pipeline.
Look, I've heard rumours that Bioshock is in the pipeline.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I mean, you know, Last of Us was sitting in development hell for quite a while. Like, it sat in development hell, like, from 2016 onwards, and the rights were relinquished in 2019. To the point where people who were cast originally were like, I'm now too old to play Ellie because I now have children, you know? So, yeah, kind of thing.
Well, I think right now, when it comes to video game adaptations, the next big thing is Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's.
That's the next big thing.
I haven't seen the trailer. Yeah. I need to watch it. Bro, have you seen the trailer?
Yes, I have.
How do you feel about it? Because you've played Five Nights at Freddy's.
I have played it way too much.
How do you feel?
To be fair, like, it looks very authentic. Like, I think, the puppets look a bit cheap, but then saying that, they were cheap in the video game.
They were cheap
so
in the game.
It makes
video
sense. But, yeah, seeing Josh Hutcherson, like, I haven't seen him for, like since Hunger Games.
Yeah, for real.
But, I want to see more. It was just a teaser, though, so I'm curious. Because what kind of got me is that the restaurant looks properly like Willy's Wonderland. Like, Willy's Wonderland.
That's what I was thinking about, Willy's Wonderland. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. It really looks, I was like, what the hell? That's basically Willy's Wonderland. Did they film in the same place? But yeah, I'm hopeful and I'm curious, so that's always a good thing.
I mean, you never know, because you know how sometimes the pipeline comes up with by the way, you thought you forgot, but and you get surprises like the Sonic movie, you get surprises. So I guess we'll see.
It's Blumhouse as well. So
yeah, I guess we'll see. But like I said, thank you to everybody who did this, because this was. This is one wonder to behold. It was all the emotions that I wanted, and some I didn't even want, but I'll take them. And yeah, I mean, if they do BioShock, oh my goodness! Once again, it's going to need a heavyweight because to execute that. But also, I kind of am all like, is there enough meat to do an extensive series on BioShock? Because how much times are you just running around throwing your things at people? Also, a real life Bidani would be terrifying.
Well, to be fair, you're thinking of that. I was thinking if they went for the BioShock Infinite.
Oh, BioShock Infinite. Fair, that would be the one that I'd want, to be honest.
Because to be fair, if you're going to, like, in my head, if you're going to do a BioShock film or even a trilogy, that's a prequel. So you can do that one first. You can do BioShock Infinite first, that kind of opens up that world. Then you get insights into, like, the whole multiverse situation.
Yeah.
And then then it goes straight into the first game.
But once again, I'd like it to be a series, not a film. I feel like you're too limited in a film. You've got 3 hours.
Well, just remember, people, God of War is around the corner.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please. Anyway, on that note, thank you for coming up to this, the first official sequel for The Last of Us. Thank you so much for your ears. I really hope for those, you know, who watched it, you enjoyed it, please feel free to let us know your thoughts, feels, and what have you. You can follow us on Instagram at messeduppod. You can message via that forum, or you can email at centuriesavengers@gmail.com. Big man, what's your socials?
Thank you, sis. You can find me on Twitter at war3782 and on Insta at mr_roberts_v1. How about you, bro?
You can find me on YouTube under instantclassic_KB. You can find me on Kick under instantclassic-gaming. And you can also find me on Twitch, TikTok, and Instagram under instantclassic_gaming.
Thank you very much for your time. And don't forget, when you're in the darkness, look for the light. Take care.
Remember one last thing, though, yeah?
Just
one last thing.
Uh-huh.
You need to hide. Just remember. We don't do stealth.
I don't do stealth.
She don't do stealth.
I don't do stealth. Thank you.
There, guys.
See you later.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.